I think the thing that concerns me about the more recent period of especially Western Christianity is the kind of a strain away from a biblical view of the cross. And I want to just share a little bit with you today about the cross of Christ. So I think the message has been largely replaced with a mixture of motivational, positive mental attitude, pop psychology, self-help, and maybe a verse or two just to make it, you know, work. I'm not against motivational, positive mental attitude or against psychology, but when it's just proof texted and there's something so powerful that was accomplished at the cross that I just don't want to miss that. Amen? So are we going to be the best version of ourselves, or are we going to be who Christ has called us to be? And I think that's kind of the part where I see a separating taking place. So we want to walk in newness of life, filled with the Holy Spirit. And just got a couple of song lyrics. I was so happy. I've been singing hymns all week this week, and then you did a hymn. That's so cool. I just love it. So, well, I've been warbling hymns. I don't really sing. There's a line from an old hymn. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I love that old song. But the kind of the emphasis part, even though it mentions self, okay, but the emphasis is on the cross. So there's an emphasis on worship, humility, self-sacrifice, and eternity. I'm going to read a line from another song. I'm not against this song. I'm not trying to say good song, bad song. I'm just trying to just show the shift in emphasis. I am a child of God, and so my needs are great. Help me to understand his words before it grows too late. I'm not opposed to that, so I'm not going old geezer on you. But to me, the emphasis is, I am, my needs, help me now. And I think that we do the Lord a disservice and we do ourselves a disservice when we focus on ourselves and not on him. Somebody help me and say amen. The more we focus on ourselves, the more powerless we become and the more we see the degradation of culture. Because we can't be salt and light without the power of God. Amen. So, as we become more focused on the Lord and his glory, we are transformed into his image and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do his will. So, I want to read three brief passages of Scripture that have to do with the cross of Christ. First one's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 24. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. I love that passage. So, if our introduction to Jesus Christ was done so with the promise of personal enrichment without the cross, we were offered the world that Satan offered Jesus in the wilderness temptation to rule without the cross. Jews require a sign, or we could say a miracle. I don't want to say this as a charismatic Christian who believe in signs and wonders, healing, all that good stuff. Even a good thing like healing can be overemphasized and lead us astray from the heart of the gospel. So if you're not, look at this crazy thing that's going on with my hand. If you're not healed, you're less than. And that's just not right. It's who we are in Christ that matters. I love healing. I love it when people are healed. Seek ye first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you is the message, right? So rather than focusing on what God can do for us, we're to focus on Him as our first and greatest love. And I want to put it this way. Are we seeking the supernatural or Jesus Christ? Jesus is supernatural, but if you seek the supernatural, you can end up with something other than, you might not want it. So Greeks seek wisdom. I know this firsthand, being raised in a Greek home. So Greeks seek wisdom is a kind of a double-edged statement here because Greeks pursued wisdom and knowledge to better themselves. Interestingly, wisdom is the name Sophia in Greek, and it was a female deity. So seeking wisdom was actually seeking a female deity in Paul's day. It doesn't matter what's today. It matters when it was written, right? Knowledge or Gnosticism was their primary religion. So when Paul is saying God came from heaven, was crucified, died, buried, and rose again, they're looking at him like, what? The gods are, you know, the things that we worship, these powerful beings. Nope, they're demons. So the cross of Christ keeps us centered. It keeps us from going into extremes of fanaticism. So let's not nullify the cross for self-help. Amen. Second passage of Scripture, Galatians 6:12 through 15. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ, Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. How many of you are glad religious people have moved away from circumcision? Yikes. So they're not trying to do that so much today, but I think we can focus on external things that appear to have religious value, but they're add-ons, and so and it becomes a thing that we boast about. Like, for example, I'm so humble, I'm proud of it. That'll get there. That'll land. I want to go into something that's become a sort of a popular cultural norm today, and it's tattoos, because those are things that I hear people talk about. Anybody else hear that talk about? Ray, anybody talk to you? No, you're too big. So maybe it could be, instead of getting circumcised, it could be get your tattoo removed. But it's a thing that's supposed to show something to someone else that you really get it, that you really got it. And I'm substituting circumcision for tattoo because, like I said, not too many people are running around. You must be circumcised. You know, it's like, is it okay if I tell you a stupid joke? I'm asking for permission. I'm going to do it anyways. You might as well just say, yeah, please. There was an evangelical pastor, a Catholic priest, and a rabbi that gathered for coffee every Friday and sat in the store, and they would just go on and on about which one was right and which one was better and which one was, you know. So the barista came to them and said, look, you guys come in here and complain and argue every week. He goes, well, there's a mean old bear that lives in the woods outside of town. Whichever one of you can convert the bear first, then you can be the winner of this argument that happens every week. So they go, yeah, that's all right. So the Catholic priest goes first, and he goes out, and he comes back in 3 days, and he says to the guys, I got the bear to receive communion. And the evangelical says, I'll go next, I can beat that. And he comes back in 2 days and he says, I got the bear to kneel down and pray and receive Christ in 2 days. Okay. So the rabbi goes, I can beat that. And he goes out. A week goes by, they don't hear from him. Find out he's in the hospital. So they go to the hospital and they say, what happened? He says, well, I got the bear converted in one day, but when I went to circumcise him. Okay. Bear didn't like it. So what's the point? You can struggle with lust with or without a tattoo. You can have your tattoos removed and still tell a lie. So it's not about what's in your flesh, it's about what's in your heart. Okay, so I'm not planning to go and get a tattoo. If you have a tattoo, keep it. When you get to be my age, it won't look the same. Just saying. So nothing we do in our flesh will make us more Christ-like. And we don't want to do something just so we can brag and say, look what I did. All right? So with or without, however you come to Christ, that's who you are. Try to change something outward and get focused on that. It'll become a distraction. And you'll end up glorying in your flesh and not in the cross of Christ, which has the power to give you authority over lusting and lying. But outside stuff doesn't, okay? I remember when I was a new Christian and we were in a more of a holiness kind of a church, and man, there was a lot of talk about clothing. A lot. And I remember going to a Sunday school class and this new couple came in and the old lady with her hair in a bun that was teaching the Sunday school class, she just lit into the lady because she thought her blouse was too low. And I thought, those kids are never coming back. We need to go after people's hearts, not... Goodness. I believe in dressing modestly. I'm not saying that, but I am saying if we get lost like the Galatians did into externals, we're going to miss the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to miss the power of the cross, and we're not going to have any effect. So the final portion of Scripture is from Philippians. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is even able to subdue all things to himself. Wow. No one's challenging Jesus. We don't believe in yin and yang Christianity where there's equal parts light and dark competing. You turn the light on, the darkness just disappears. So here's just a simple view of this passage. Hang out with godly people. And if their lives are an example for you, get close to them. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. So don't hang out with godly people whose end is destruction. So let me say it this way. I'm referring to fake Christians who have fake good news. You like that? We need to hang out with lost people because they need to hear our testimony. Yeah, but when someone says they're a Christian and they're living a destructive life, we ought to step back from that. Whose God is their belly is another way of saying they are led by their baser appetites and not God's word. Let's be honest, how many have done both? You walked with God, done it, and you've done your own thing. His is better, right? What's that, Lord? One more donut? All right. I'm aware that some people are concerned about my jokes and references to politics, and so I just want to say it very simply. I'm not overly interested in politics for politics' sake. In fact, I'm sick of it, to be honest. But the principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, are manifesting in politics, they're manifesting in media, they're manifesting in education, they're manifesting in all these areas. And we need to be mindful, right? And I'll say it this way, I can't vote for someone who thinks it's okay to kill a baby. I just can't. They might have some other stuff that I disagree with, you know what I mean? But I can't. I can't go along with anybody who thinks there aren't two genders. Just boys and girls. When I was little and I had a sister, I had a younger sister, and she would say, well, I don't want to play army, let's play dolls. I'd play dolls with her. I thank God I'm not around some of these people today. Oh, you like dolls? Maybe you're not really a boy. I'm not going to do anything, but I just... I knew I was a boy. But those aren't political statements, they're biblical statements. So, if some, or let's say even many, disagree with what I just said, you know, I think it's, if you kill a baby in the womb, it's still a murder. And there are people that, like I said, probably a lot of people that disagree with me, disagree with how many genders. We got someone sitting on the Supreme Court who couldn't tell what a woman was. I don't think that's a person that's exactly qualified to judge. That's just me. All right? But I want to say it this way. If they think it's okay to kill babies in or out of the womb because it's both now, We've now got euthanasia laws in a lot of the countries. They think that's okay. And if they're confident to carry those views into eternity, so be it. But it's not going to stand. God's not going to go, oh, I've rethought this. Because you've read the scripture, I am the Lord, I change my mind often. If they cancel me, I won't change. I just won't be heard. Does that make sense? It is written, isn't going to change. They can't shut me up or change my mind. And I think we need to have that kind of position these days. So, carnal wisdom or the cross of Christ? So, you know, you choose. And this is what was happening in the Bible times too, because Paul's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and these Greeks are just flipping out. What do you mean there's one God? Now we're back to that with all these crazy pagan people coming out everywhere. The Old Testament prophets, including John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus, addressed ungodly leadership. And the point is not to condemn people. It's to call them to repentance. When I was a young man, back when the world was in black and white, at least the TV was, there was a guy that he was a friend of mine, and I mean, he would go up on the roof. He would go up on the roof during work hours and get stoned. He was hardcore. Well, he moved away and he comes back and he's born again and he's on fire for Jesus. And he meets me and he goes, Pat, unless you repent, you're going to go to hell. I got to tell you, that offended me. But I needed to hear it. I thank God for him every day. His name's Paul. Not this Paul, this more recent one. I'm not that old. We are to embrace the cross until Jesus returns. Isn't that cool? So it's not something like, yeah, I went to the cross. No, embrace it till he returns. He has transformed us in the Spirit. When we're born again, there's a completed work that takes place in our lives. Yes? He is transforming our minds. Have you ever thought something that you wish you wouldn't have thought? It's like, thanks. Someone else. Actually, if I'm not watching the news or driving, I do pretty well. He will transform these frail bodies when he returns. Isn't that great? Mine's going to have hair. So how is he going to do that? You know, thank you for asking. Paul wrote, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. All things. Have you seen, I don't know if it's a sin or not, but I'm on Instagram, so forgive me. I've been looking at the images from that new telescope. Have you seen any of those? The Hubble was cool, but what's it called, Webb? I don't know why it's named that, but Webb telescope and these amazing images from deep space. He's over all that. You know, it's just, there's just nothing, there's no extent to his reach. He spoke all of that into existence. Is that enough power? Yeah, I think it is. We're going to celebrate communion today, and we're celebrating his death on the cross until he returns. Yes? Praise God. I like the song, the line in the song, we will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Praise God. So I need the cross for all these fallen appetites that still speak up once in a while. I bought a bag. When Sarah and I were first dating, we used to eat those carob-coated peanuts, those little carob-coated clusters, and I found some at the health food store. And I bought a bag, and we were sitting there eating them. Not one. Emptied the bag. I will cling to the old rugged cross. Oh, yeah. We're either going to defeat those appetites or be defeated by them. And that's the tragedy of what we see happening so many in church. So many people around us. I want to say this before we receive communion, and I'm not here to embarrass or call out or do anything like that. It's just between you and Jesus. If you're in a struggle with one or more of those appetites, may I just invite you this morning to lay it down? Because I know the human condition. I are one. But if we'll lay it down at the cross of Christ, whatever that is, if we'll lay it down at the cross of Christ, righteousness, peace, and joy are ours on the other side. And again, I've done both. I've been on both sides of that conversation, and I just like it so much better on this side. I'm not saying I'm never going to look back at the other side. Maybe after my third carob peanut cluster, it'll start to speak to me. But I just want to encourage you. The Lord has so much for us. His power is so great. When he spoke and formed the heavens and the earth, he has enough power to help us to overcome whatever is afflicting us. Amen? And I just want to say it this way. Until the serpent spoke to Adam and Eve in the tree, I don't think they ever had a problem. I'm not saying the devil made me do it or blaming the enemy or just, I'm not talking about that. But there is a reality to spiritual warfare where he pokes at our weaknesses and gets us to do and say and think things that we wouldn't normally do, say, or think. And I just want to encourage you. Don't go all self-condemnation. Just go, Lord, just please take this from my life. Amen.